All right, we're going to be in Revelation 10, but just as a reiteration, I'm going to go over some things that really you don't get too often in other places. So I like to go over this when I can. You have to forgive my markers here. There's one that's not too good. All right, so you got Calvary right here. The Bible says in Romans, the Apostle Paul teaches you that the Lord Jesus Christ was made under the law. So here's the Lord. He comes pre-Calvary. He's made under the law. And guess what's in effect in the Gospels? The law. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 23, he says, look, they sit in Moses' seat. He said, do what they say, not what they do, because they're not practicing what they're saying. So they're teaching the law, and that's correct. That was in effect. So when you get a lot of people and they're reading the Gospels to you, preachers can mess you up in the Gospels. Well, you get this thing and they think Matthew chapter number 5, all that stuff is to you doctrinally. All right, well, you get this thing over here, and he said, if anybody asks of you, give to him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. With me, that's not going to work. Why? Because if a man will not work, neither should he eat. What Paul says contradict what the Lord says. You know, they say, well, we go by the red letters. Well, it's a different dispensation. He's literally here, and the kingdom, he's saying the kingdom is at hand. If you'll receive the Messiah, all those Old Testament prophecies concerning the kingdom could have taken place. They knew nothing about a church age. In the Old Testament, they didn't know anything about the dispensation we're in, where people are saved by grace through faith alone, without the works of the law, anything. They didn't understand those things. That's like Simon Peter. He's up there with the Lord, and the Lord says, hey, I'm about to go to the cross. And Simon Peter took him and rebuked him. He said, be it not unto thee, Lord. And you get these people and they talk about lordship salvation. Here's Peter doing right opposite of what the Lord's saying all the time. They say, well, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That's not biblical. I disregard what the Lord says all the time. Not because I think that's a good thing. I know that the Bible teaches we need to yield to the Lord. But that don't mean I'm lost. That don't mean you're lost if you mess up. Why? We have eternal security. Once you're saved, you are saved, and you are as good as in heaven, so much so that it says you're seated in heavenly places already. My body just hasn't got there.
Amen.
Now, what's the difference? In the Old Testament, they didn't have it.
Uh-uh.
Now, you can talk to Baptist pastors all you want to, and I don't care what the Baptist pastor says. If he says something different than the Bible does, the Methodist is right where he's wrong on that. And I don't care who. Look, I read my Bible now. I used to. I kind of skirt the issue a little bit. But now, let me tell you something. The Bible is right over anybody's doctrine.
That's right.
So that's how come a lot of people will mess a Baptist up. Why? Because a Baptist wants to put eternal security in the Old Testament when it's not there. And a Baptist wants to put eternal security in the tribulation where it says if any man take the mark of the beast, he'll have torment. What's that? We're joined to Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. What's that? We are literally made members of the body of Christ, so much so that if you do anything, you're still saved. Some people say, well, what if so-and-so killed somebody? If he's saved, he's saved. Why? Let me tell you this. You have to be real careful about what people say and not what the Bible really teaches. Because if you got real mad, let's say you got real mad and somebody done something to a member of your family, you may not have went out and killed them, but if you'd had the opportunity and you thought you wouldn't get caught, you probably would have done it.
That's right.
Guess what? Just as saved as you can be. Now, you know what you have? You have something right here that was available after the cross, because what he did on the cross, he revealed that thing to Paul. The cross made it possible, but they didn't know about it until Paul.
That's right.
And guess what he says? He says, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
Right.
See, salvation's so simple, people stumble over it. Little children, man, it was so wonderful about a child can understand. Okay, you tell a child and say, look, Jesus Christ died for you. Do you believe that? Yep, I believe it. You believe you're a sinner? Yep. They say, yeah, I believe that. Then you say, all you have to do is trust what he did for you on the cross. He died, he buried, and rose again the third day, shed his blood for you. Can you trust that? Yeah, I'd love to do that. They do that, they're saved. You tell an adult that, and they, well, you don't know what all I've done. It don't matter what you did. Christ's blood, he died for everybody, for every single sin. There's no sin bad enough. Now, you know what? That's the trouble you get people in, and they don't understand where they're at. Why? Because they failed. A lot of times they'll stop over here. They get over here, and they read something they don't like, and they stop. They forget to keep reading the Bible over here in Paul, and Paul tells you how simple salvation is. Now, you got to get these things. Why? Because here, you remember reading in Matthew chapter number 10 over here in the Gospels, he said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. That has nothing to do with where we're at. I've heard preachers get up there and they'll say, I'll tell you what, you know, they always get up there, and a lot of times they wax eloquent in these revival meetings. They'll say, you don't get down here in the front confess. What about some of these people that's in a wheelchair? Some of these people crippled, can't get up. What are you going to do with people like that? See, you can't put that down on. But in the tribulation, guess what happens? You've got healing. You got apostles and things like that who are able to heal over here. And it's going to come back after the rapture of the church in the tribulation. And you've got people and they say, look, you can confess the Lord. Why? Because if you will confess the Lord, they're able to heal you. And you know what you can do? You can confess before men. Why? They're going to need that. The whole world is on a system where if you take the mark of the beast, you can buy and sell, eat and drink, and all these types of things. But if you don't, you can't have anything. You're poor. So you're going to have to confess in that time. And that time was at hand. That's why John the Baptist comes preaching. He said the kingdom is at hand right here.
That's right.
All right, what's that mean? It's within reach. Something's at hand. Okay, so Daniel's 70th week at the cross right here, which they get a little bit of time up until Acts chapter number 7. He's still going and preaching the kingdom even after the cross. Why? Because Paul hadn't been saved. You get Paul saved in Acts chapter number 9. What's the difference here? Y'all remember right here? They stoned Stephen full of the Holy Ghost. And you know what happens? They had rejected the Father in the Old Testament. Samuel, they said, the Lord said, Samuel, look, they hadn't rejected, they've rejected me. They rejected the Father. They rejected the Son right there at the cross. And they rejected the Holy Ghost right here. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, look, if you reject the Holy Ghost over there in Matthew, you have never forgiveness. What happened? That generation had to die out just like the generation that rejected him over there in the wilderness. And you know what's happening? Right now, he called out Paul, and what you have is what we call the church age right here. One of these days, preferably today, but God's having mercy, you will have the rapture of the church. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to go right back to dealing with Israel, and he's going to go right back and finish out Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week was put on pause.
That's right, brother.
He gave them another chance after the cross right in here in early Acts. That's why they're still preaching the king. He said, if you'll repent in Acts 3, he'll send Jesus Christ. Now, what's going on? Hebrews through Revelation. You got Hebrews through Revelation. That's Jewish application. Now, how do you know? I'm not a Hebrew. Now, all kind of things are true concerning the cross, but he's having to let the Jews know that really was the Messiah that they crucified. Why? They don't believe that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came. They're still looking for him to come the first time. That's why many of them are going to receive the Antichrist. So when you get over here to Revelation, the doctrine we're reading right now, we have nothing to do with that stuff. You got people and say, well, the four horses are riding and all that. We're not going to be here, y'all. So when I'm reading some of this stuff, you got to realize this stuff has future application. Just like there are things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John I will preach on. And man, it's spiritual application all there. But you got to realize something. When Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was there, it was going on. The Lord Jesus Christ hadn't even went to the cross yet, up until the end of the book. And you got application that goes way back here in the Old Testament under the law. Then you get back over here and the raptures happen with Philemon. It's amazing. The book of Philemon, what's that? It's a picture of the rapture.
Amen.
How do you know? He's saying, look.
Yeah.
He's saying, I want you to receive Onesiphorus.
That's right.
Why? I know he had been in rebellion, but anything he's done, put that on mine account. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say to the Father? I know they've been rebellious. I know he went out on you. I know they've done all these type of things. But anything they've done, put that on my account. Then all of a sudden, Hebrews comes in. There's no distinctions in the body of Christ. It don't matter whether you're Jew, Gentile, anything.
That's right.
In today's time. But he gets over here, very first thing, to the Hebrews. What's that? There's application in these books. You can get spiritual application, but anything that contradicts what your apostle, Paul said, I'm the apostle to the Gentile. If you don't ever let a preacher, teacher, anybody else get over here and tell you you have to hold out faithful and you have to endure to the end, all that type of stuff, we have nothing to do with that stuff. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ already endured for you.
That's right.
You got a lot of these people, man, and it just bugs me. I like to listen to preaching too. And they'll have some good stuff and you'll be listening to that and say, now if you hold out faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ already held out for me.
That's right.
Why? Because what if I messed up today? What if I done something stupid? And I hope I don't. And people say, well, you're not working for the Lord. You must not be saved. What about some of these people that get something in an awful wreck or something? They get in a hospital bed. They can't do anything for the rest of their life. Now, they're saved. If they trusted Christ, they're saved. You got some people, and it don't happen often, but it does happen. Some people hadn't done nothing for Jesus Christ all their life. They get saved on their deathbed.
That's right.
Now, they go to hell because they didn't do enough? Absolutely not. They go straight to heaven.
That's right.
Why? Because salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourself. You got to get that. Why? We're going to get in some stuff. There's going to be stuff we're going to read and hear that won't match this. And what all you do is, I take the Bible literally as far as you can take it literally. Why? Because otherwise, if the Lord wants you to take spiritual application, He'll tell you. Then guess what? Anytime when I read in Hebrews chapter 6, if they fall away, can it renew them to repentance? You know what I do? I just take and say, hey, that's not my mail for today. Why? Because what's the only thing that somebody could do that couldn't renew them to repentance? Take the mark of the beast. So doctrinally, where does it fit doctrinally? It fits right there in the tribulation. That's the only place it could fit. Why? Because anything you do, it's all covered under blood. Now, you can lose your fellowship. Why? You stop walking with God, and guess what will happen? You'll start doubting your salvation. You'll stop wanting to read your Bible. You'll stop wanting to pray, but you still just as saved. You know what over there when Paul said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, nor, and he goes, angels, principalities, powers, nor any creature. You know what I've got written in my margin? Nor any preacher.
That's right, brother.
I've had preachers get up there and try to separate me from the love of Christ and try to talk me out of my salvation. Say, if you've ever done so and so, you must not really be saved. Or if you've ever cussed, you must not really be saved. Salvation's not in cussing.
That's right.
Salvation's not in having bad thoughts. Salvation's not in being mean as a rattlesnake like I tend to be. I don't want to be, but sometimes we are. I mean, sometimes, look, when you get older, here's the thing about when you get older. You learn how to hide that stuff, but in your mind, you're like, I'm mad.
Right.
I'm mad. You have to walk around your backyard. Well, does that mean I'm lost? No, it means I'm saved. I'm just having to be angry and sin not.
That's right.
But still just as saved. You got to get that. Why? It'll give you peace of heart. Now, when we get over here in Revelation, you're getting into things here. You know what you find out the more you read Revelation? The Prince of Peace has offered peace all through this church age. Salvation. Simple, simple, simple. And they've rejected. And all of a sudden you get in here and say, why would God do some of the things He's doing? They've rejected the blood of His Son so long. And so much through so much mercy. And He says, that's it. Sin has gotten up too high. I'm going to put a stop to it. So you get over here in Revelation chapter number 10. And He's jumping around. Revelation is not chronological. You get in Revelation. And like I said, I'm probably jumping around too much. But I want you to get some of these things. You can study it. In Revelation, every time you see that earthquake, that great earthquake, you know, like at the end of chapter 6, the other one should be at the end of chapter 8, probably. The other one, I think it's at the end of 11. And then you got another end of the world there. It's like four times you see the end of the world. What's that? He's honing in on different points of the tribulation. And He's coming. He'll start back over and He'll come through a different aspect of the tribulation. Why? You got four gospels at the first coming, giving you four different aspects of the first coming of Christ. But He says at the end, He said, a short work with I make of the earth. Revelation, the second coming, He's just giving you four views of the revelation. And that's why you see that great earthquake there four times in the book of Revelation. And all it is, it's not written in chronological order. He'll give you one view through it, and He'll come back, start back over, and give you some more detail, and come back through it again. He'll hone in on the seals and things like that. Then he'll come in, he'll hone in on the other parts of it. Then he'll hone in on the Antichrist. And then when Revelation 19 gets here, he hones in on the Lord coming back himself and stomping his enemies. Why? Just four views of that thing. You get back, and like I said, I'm trying to get Revelation 10. Lord, hit me. The Bible's fun. I mean, once you start seeing this stuff, the Bible's such a new book. I remember when I started rightly dividing the word of truth, I realized you have to divide truth from truth. That's why it says the word of truth. Truth in the Old Testament is not the same truth as it is true then. But as far as now, I can eat any meat I want to. Back then, I couldn't. So it has to be divided. Then you get in here and you start reading this. You say, okay, where does it fit? Why? It's got to fit. And all right, whenever you're reading a piece of a scripture, it can either fit in the Old Testament. Here's under the law. Or it can fit in the Old Testament before the law. I'm just going to put before the law. Or it can fit in the church age. That looks like a G. Church age. All right. Or it can fit, guess what's happening after the church age? The tribulation. All right. Then after the tribulation, you got a 1,000-year millennial reign. Verse of scripture can fit there. Or it can fit in eternity. Or the Bible calls it the age of ages.
That's right.
And especially, let me tell you something. If you don't know this, when you read through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Lamentations, all those books, if you don't realize that, because he jumps.
That's right.
Sometimes in one verse, okay, he said, unto us, he said, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. That's first coming. That's whenever he's under the law right here. Then he said, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. They didn't call him wonderful. Over here, Counselor, Governor, the government should be on his shoulder. Guess what? That's all the way right here. And then he said, of his government there shall be no end. That's all the way out here.
Right.
All in one verse.
Yeah.
That's why when you read that Bible, you can't just read the thing at surface value and cram everything right there in one spot. Why? We've got doctrine that applies to us right here with Apostle Paul. Then you've got doctrine that's going to be to these people here that doesn't match this. It's not that the Bible contradicts. That's how, look, if I wanted to, if I didn't believe the Word of God, I could get in there now that I've read through the Bible. I can get through there and say, well, there's contradiction here, 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 here. Well, guess what? It's not that the Bible contradicts. It's that it's different mail for different people.
That's right.
Well, we want to make all the Bible to us. And about us and everything. Look, that's like even America. A lot of people, they get all messed up. What's going to happen with the world in America? I mean, you know what the Bible says about America? The nations of this world is a drop of a bucket and less than nothing. You know what nation God cares about? Israel. Israel. That's why I'm going to tell you this. All this anti-Semitic stuff, I think you ought to I stay away from it. I'll tell you how bad I am with it. I'm to the place now, if somebody gets talking bad about Israel and what all they want to do and they don't like, you know, and likening things to Hitler and we like, and you know what I do? I'm getting away from it. I won't even say, I'm not going to argue with that person. I'm going to get away from that person. Why? Because let God deal with it. Don't try to convince some of these people that the devil's done got a hold of. You just pray for them and let God handle them. Why? You know what happened? I've learned myself. If you get in an argument with some people who are so convinced, and you'll make them worse, and then before long they're your enemy, and they won't talk to you about nothing. I have messed up two or three good times with people, and I thought, I'm going to show them this verse, and they've got to believe it. So I'd show them the verse, and I'd say, look, here's the context. This is what the verse said. This is who it's talking to. How could you believe that? And they go, mm-mm. We've been taught that for years, and that's just the way I'm going to believe. And I'm thinking, How could you still believe that when I... But guess what? Until the Lord opens that heart and that ground of that heart is ready, you can put that seed on that ground all day long, and if it's not ready, it's not going to receive it.
Exactly.
Only God can do that.
Exactly.
You can say, hey, this is what God's shown me in His Word. This is what I believe according to the context of the Bible, and I'll pray for you, but as far as me, I'm fixed. You know what David said over in Psalm? He said, my heart is fixed, and once they know your heart's fixed according to the Bible, just leave it up to God. Wow, we're getting all kind of trouble. All kind. He says over here in verses 1-6, he's jumping around. So he's about to describe the angel coming down here, and this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ again. Why? You got to realize something. When you're reading the Bible here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that made angels. He's the one that made messengers. Some things, especially this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's revealing him to be able to fit any bill there is. The Lord Jesus Christ can do anything good there. That's how come he can be a lamb, and he can be a lion, he can be a savior, and he can be a king, he can be all these things, and in this one thing, he's the angel. He comes down and he said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Well, that's the Lord. Ezekiel 1:4, Acts 1:9, Revelation 1:7, that's the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Exodus 3:2, Acts 27:23, Galatians 4:14. He's describing another aspect of what the Lord does. It says, and a rainbow. This is amazing to me. A rainbow was upon his head and his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Well, you know that matches right there in Revelation chapter 1, the very same thing. But why did it say a rainbow upon his head? Think about this. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's about to destroy the earth and all the evildoers in it. Now, here's destruction, rainbow. The first time he destroyed the earth there with Noah on it, you know what he did? He flooded it with water. But you know what he gave them? He gave them a rainbow up there, and he said, hey, this is my covenant showing you I won't destroy the earth like this. He didn't say he wouldn't destroy the earth. Right. I've read commentaries where people try to say, see, here's God contradicting himself because he's going to destroy the earth again. He said he wouldn't destroy it. He said he wouldn't destroy it with the flood. Right. Now, why is he coming with a rainbow? Showing you he's going to destroy the earth and he's keeping his promise. He's not going to do it with a flood this time. He's going to do it with fire.
That's right, brother.
That's why he mentions fire here. What does fire do? See, a flood, you can put water, you know, and sometimes it'll make things worse. But it don't just completely get everything out. Water, a lot of times you can put water in a cut and it'll help. But you know what fire do? Fire will purge out all the germs.
Yes, it will.
That's why hell's going to be fire. So you know what he's going to do? He's coming. He's showing you with that rainbow. He is the Lord. He's the one that made that first covenant. And if he was able to keep that,
He's
able to keep his word with Israel.
That's right.
And you know what that tells me spiritually? Doctrinally, that's to them. But spiritually, if he said he would seal my soul and keep his word. He has to keep his word. If he said he'd seal me unto the day of redemption, I'm sealed.
Amen.
And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Christians need to know that. Why? Because we're living in a time right now where people try to get you to doubt everything. Never doubt your salvation.
Never.
You should be as strong on eternal security as you are on any other doctrine. Why? Because without that doctrine right there, you'll get in your mind. I've seen people get so confused in their mind and they think, I must not done something right. I must not said something right. It's not in words. Why? What about people who can't speak? That's why it says, confess with your mouth in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're deaf and dumb and you can't speak, guess what you can do? In your heart, your soul can say, I trust you.
Amen.
And you're saved.
That's right, brother.
And here he is able to keep his promise. That's why it says, his face was it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. Well, sun, well, guess what? The Apostle Paul saw something above the brightness of the sun. You imagine that? That's why the Bible says in the 1,000-year millennial reign, the earth in the daytime, Isaiah says, it's going to be 7 times brighter than the sun. And at nighttime, it's still going to be bright as it is in the day. Now, y'all, that's amazing to me. All right, you get over here now in verse number 2, it says, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. He must be huge. He must be huge. See, we don't make God big enough. But let me show you something about that right there with his on the sea and on the earth. I want to say it's in the Psalms. I just lost my reference to it here. I got too many references in my margin now. That little book is the same little book in chapter 5, verse 7, I'm sure. And on the earth, I know he said all power is given to heaven and earth in Matthew 28:18. But there's a verse over in Psalms where it tells you why he does that. And y'all, I just lost it. I'll have to come back to it. In verse number 3, it said, "And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those words which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Now, that's interesting, because we learned from previous studies that, especially like in Psalm 29, those thunders, the Lord thunders when He talks. Okay? Seven thunders. You know what? The Lord created, and He made 7 days on the creation. And He said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. All right, so 7 times He spoke.
That's right.
Now, these seven thunders right here, you know what He's about to do? See, He's jumping in verses 1 through 6. I know that He's jumping past this 1,000-year millennial reign. And how do I know that? Because in verse number 6, it said, "And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer." Well, time is still going on right here, so we know that He's jumped up above that, and He's going to back up to the tribulation in verse 7, because verse 7 starts with "but." Now, why am I saying that? You know He's jumped up there, and He's explaining things that are going to happen after this time, because here's the Lord taking over everything. Now, He's taken over in the 1,000-year millennial reign. But you got to remember, at the end of this thing, Satan's going to be loosened for a little season, and he's going to come up, and the Lord's going to put him down, just completely put him down. I mean, everything. And then you'll go into the age of ages. Now, these seven thunders, this is what's amazing. What if that, and I'm just, like I said, this is what it looks like in the text. What if that is Him speaking the second creation into existence? That's what it looks like to me. Now, like I said, you try to find something like that, that's what it looks like in the text, and that's why sometimes I have to tell y'all, I'm just guessing, because this book, some of this stuff's hard. But when it says those seven thunders, I know He's got to be saying that, because in verse 4, He said, "Seal up those things," at the bottom of those verse, the bottom of the verse, "which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Well, y'all know in Daniel 12, verse 4, that when Daniel got the revelation there, and Daniel's the mate to Revelation, the Lord said, "Seal up the things in the book until the time of the end." Okay, well, that here it is in Revelation. He says the time of the end is at hand. So now you're getting revelation on that. But right here, where they're at in the book of Revelation, He says, "Seal it up." Why? It's not for Israel to know that yet. They need to know about what's going on in the tribulation, and seal this up until a different time. See, that's why a lot of times you think, well, I've read through Revelation, I've got a good bit of stuff. The Lord's going to be able to open that book up in a whole new way, and there'll be application in the Bible past the 1,000-year millennial reign out into eternity right there in that Bible. Y'all, that's amazing. That makes me want to read it more. How do you know? All right, here's the Apostle Paul, after the Lord gives him the revelation of the mystery in the church age. And he goes back to Isaiah, goes back to Jeremiah, goes back to the law and things like that, and teaches us things that we couldn't see until it was revealed to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there, we couldn't see it. If he was able to hide that, just think about what he's able to hide over there and say, okay, you never saw it on this fashion. And the Lord, the one who wrote the Bible, is able to take and say, okay, now this applies here, and this applies here, and this applies here, and go out there and teach all throughout eternity. Why? The Bible said the Word of God will go forth from Jerusalem. Now, you've heard men teach the Bible in wonderful ways, but if you go and you imagine hearing the Lord Jesus Christ open up the Scriptures. You know what it said to those men that was on a road to Emmaus? Those two, and he come down there, and the Bible said he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon that must have been. When the Lord goes there and said, you didn't see this scapegoat pictures me. You didn't see how these two doves picture me. You didn't see how this altar pictures me. You didn't see how all these things about David, that pictures me. Saul, he got anointed, and then Saul kept on reigning, and then David didn't take over till later. Well, that's how it's going to be. The Lord got anointed there all the way back in time over in here. And then he's not going to take over until the Antichrist, which is a picture of Saul, is gone. And then David will take back over. The Lord Jesus Christ will take back over, even though he's already been anointed. All those things are in the scriptures. And he says, I got to open it up. And here's the Lord right here. He's taking it and he said, yeah, there's going to be no more need for time anymore. Why does it say, you know, you get over here in these verses and he's saying there's time no longer, and everything takes on such a serious tone and stuff like that. Why? Because the Lord invented time. And all of a sudden he's going to say, okay, now there's going to be no need. We're going out into eternity. That's amazing.
That's right.
That's why, look, a lot of times he'll take a break and he'll give you things. Why? He's going to go right back in here and have to tell all kinds of things. It's rough. That's why you get over here in verse number 7. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, that mystery of God right there, you know, that's a different thing, because Paul was revealed the mysteries. And God had to go back and show Paul things. And now he's saying this mystery of God, of how God is dealing with Israel and how God's closing everything out. He's saying now this is going to be finished. So that's why you got so much stuff in that Bible. It's mysteries.
That's right.
In the Bible. That's why, you know, a lot of times with me, y'all, I've been to a place where I've read a good bit and I say, well, I'm learning something. And then I get to the place where I read more and more and I say, man, I don't know near as much as I thought I did. I mean, because here's things. There's mysteries. Paul got mysteries. Then you got more mysteries after that. And there's all kinds of things to learn in the Word of God. So you just got to keep studying the thing. It says in verse number 8, in the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. That baffles me right there. You imagine how brave John must be.
Yeah.
Here's an angel, and he watched him do all this stuff and watched him stand upon the sea and upon the earth, and he's saying all this stuff, and he's the one that invented time, and he's got all these abilities, and he says, go up there and get that book from him. My. Man, let me try something right quick before, so y'all don't have to turn there. Let me see if this is it. It's going to drive me crazy. I think it may be in Psalm 95. If I can't find a verse, y'all, it bugs me. Yeah, this is speaking of the Lord. Listen to this. It says, the sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You know what the Bible says about the Lord? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is God's. The devil runs this current system. And that's why so many people, you know, like, why is everything going on? Why is the government so corrupt and all this type of stuff? Well, the devil runs all that right now.
Yeah.
The earth is God's. But the devil runs the world system. One of these days, all these things that's been run by the devil, the Lord will come and take it over. But it's going to be a little while before all that happens. And so we're getting all, we're on the way to all this thing happening here. In verse 9 it says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. You got two things there the Word of God's able to do. And spiritually speaking, I want to give you this out of that. Here comes John the Baptist, and he's eating honey. The Bible said he ate locusts and wild honey. Locusts all through the Bible, especially through Joel. What's that? Judgment. When locusts come, like over in Exodus, they come and they eat everything up. That's judgment. But then you got honey, and the Bible says, thy word is like honey in my mouth, sweet to my taste. That's the good part of it. You can either have the good part or the bad part. And oftentimes when you do walk with the Lord and have that walk with Him like John is, and you take those godly things in, some things are bitter and some things are sweet. That's why you have to have a balance there. There's nothing wrong with eating candy sometimes, but if all you eat is candy, you're going to be unhealthy. That's like the Bible. If all we do is just take the passages we want all the time without going in there and reading the stuff that we don't want and some of the harder truths, we'll be an unbalanced Christian. So you get this thing right here, and he takes it and he has to eat it up. And that's what Ezekiel had to do as well. But it's going to be bitter. One thing that's going to be, it says, in thy belly. You know what? The Bible says about the belly over there, and Paul says their God is their belly. If they'll take that word in, the bitterness of that word will get them away from the God, which is their belly. Why? They're going to be taking a mark so they can buy and sell and eat and drink. And he's saying, look, you got to give them that word. It's going to be bitter. But that bitterness will help them and lead them to where they can't eat the honey. See, that's the thing about stuff. The Bible, it's a bitter thing. Often I have to drop our idols. You know, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. And sometimes it's a bitter thing, but after the bitterness comes, you got bitterness first. Then after that, it's honey, it's sweet to your taste. You're glad you got rid of it.
That's right.
So he's eating this thing and he's realizing, hey, I'm about to tell these people these things, but it's going to be good for them in the end. And we'll finish out verse 10 and 11 next time. I see people pulling up, but we'll close out there. Brother Mike, if you would close us up.